The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volnick here with you guys, and to get a further look into the Browns offseason, what they did, and what's coming up ahead. So let's maybe talk a little Cavs. Let's go out and talk to our very own, our Cleveland sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on?
Not much. I mean, I missed you. I feel like on the day that we were talking, I mean, that was a weird way to start that sentence, Daryl. I missed you. No, we missed the part yesterday. You got to talk to Afternoon Drive as related to the incredible stadium renderings that you said were 4 years old. And I feel like I missed it. I got to hear your rant, but I feel like I missed it in person. I was excited for it.
I wouldn't say you missed it.
I feel like the individual, the back and forth. I like when I can get you riled up a little bit, and the stadium is always something I feel like I can get you riled up on. So I feel like we missed out on a prime opportunity, but that's all right. I mean, it was a great attempt to throw out toothpicks in front of the stadium and call it a renovation.
Don't worry. They got until June to get this thing sorted out. There'll be plenty more opportunities.
All right, Daryl, I did want to start talking a little bit of Cavs with you, though. Because obviously we get the designations for the injury report heading into game three here a day early. And it's Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter all once again being labeled as questionable. Do you think it's fair for the Cavs to be labeling these guys as with a questionable designation, especially somebody like Darius, who they've now put that tag on four times in a row, in which he does not suit up, in which I think it would be fair to say, at least those first couple, questionable is probably not the right definition of where he was at.
Yeah, I like what Chris Fedor had to say with the Afternoon Boys today. I think the questionable thing is does a little bit of a disservice because, you know, everyone's assuming, like, you know, Darius Garland should be out there. And look, I'm here to tell you, I had a sore foot when I came in for my show on Sunday, and I mentioned it. And the reason I mentioned it was because I have no pain threshold whatsoever. My foot was barking, and it was killing me. And it wasn't a sprained toe, okay? And so if that is what I'm dealing with, I can't imagine what he's dealing with that would keep him off the floor for four straight playoff games. So, yeah, I don't think that the Cavaliers are doing these guys a whole lot of help, you know, by just saying, well, they're questionable, maybe they'll play and whatnot. I mean, I had heard Mobley struggled to walk on Monday, you know, and you know, when you're talking about Hunter, dislocated thumb, I mean, you could be dealing with some, you know, ligament damage there too, other than just, oh, hey, just, you know, popped it back in and he's good to go, and it's on his shooting hand. So I think it's easy for folks to quarterback this thing while sitting in a chair somewhere, but I mean, if these guys are hurt and they can't play. Like, it's just, it's unfortunate. And the fact that Kenny Atkinson keeps going back to complaining about the circumstances as to why Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter can't play tells me, yeah, those are some pretty significant injuries, and he's mad. And I kind of understand why.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally get it. If I'm not mistaken, this isn't anything new by the Cavs either, right? Was it not last year that they were labeling Jared Allen as questionable and basically tossing up his bruised ribs? Then we later found out it was actually broken or shattered ribs, whatever way that they labeled it.
Cracked ribs, yeah. Cracked ribs, which are broken ribs. Yeah, yeah, that happened last year. And I to a couple colleagues, tongue-in-cheek, said, yeah, I can't wait till we find out that Darius Garland has a broken big toe. Right? I mean, And I'm not saying that's the case. I'm going to be very clear. Just, again, that was something that came out of my mouth, tongue in cheek, you know, shooting the breeze with some colleagues. But, like, you know, don't know. And Kenny Atkinson alluded to it today. I mean, these guys know their bodies. They know their pain thresholds and that. And again, if they can't physically do something, then they can't physically do something. And the fact that Atkinson now, in three straight media availabilities, three out of the last four media availabilities, because he said it Monday, and then he said it before the game Tuesday, and then he said it again today, right? The fact that he has bemoaned the injuries to Hunter and to Mobley tells me they're serious, and those guys aren't available. And he is fighting mad about that. And the fact that the Pacers suffer no penalty for that, and they're in the situation they're in. Now, granted, they're not down 0-2 because those two guys, you know, those guys are sidelined. They're down 0-2 because, well, they weren't focused enough to get, to handle their business in the final 63 seconds of that game Tuesday night.
Yeah, I guess would it be fair, do you think, to put a label as like they're doing their own players a disservice? Because I feel like the attention that's come out of it, especially from the fan, is when you see questionable, you think, that guy's basically going up until game time and then giving you a decision of, am I good to go, am I not good to go, when I think that's clearly not the case, and then fans are turning around and labeling these guys as soft.
Well, they're thinking in terms of the NFL injury threshold stuff, right?
Right.
Usually if guys are questionable, more often than not, those guys end up playing. I'll be honest with you, this is the most in-depth conversation I have ever had about how people have been labeled. So I'm not all that familiar with the degrees of injury designation in the NBA. I know in the NFL, but it's not like this is the first time this has ever come up. We're like, oh, well, you know, we're going to, you know, really parse through what is questionable mean with these guys. So, but yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, fingers crossed that one of these three guys at least can do something, anything Friday night in Indianapolis.
Our very own Daryl Ryder, a Cleveland Sports beat reporter, with us on the hotline. Daryl, what do you put it up to? If none of the three guys end up suiting up, is there a chance that you think the Cavs can still squeak out a win?
No. I think if those three guys are unavailable, they're dead where they stand. And the other night proved me right. Because now, are they good enough to maybe, you know, eke out a win? Sure. They ain't winning the series. You're not winning four of the next, what, five? To win that series if you don't have these guys available. No chance. So I do not like their chances if they can't get these guys back in the series. Now, I think they can win tomorrow night. Something tells me they're going to find a way to win tomorrow night. But, yeah, they need those guys. They really do. Indiana is a really, really, really good basketball team.
Daryl, let's talk a little Browns here. Rookie minicamp right around the corner.
You mean Shador camp. That's what this is. This isn't rookie minicamp. This is the Shador Invitational. Everybody else is there for window dressing. It's all about Shador. That's where we're at right now with the Cleveland Browns. It's hero time. It's hero praise time. This is what they do, and I can't wait to watch the results, which will probably be the same as they usually always are when they do this stuff. Go ahead.
As you look at the two quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, anything that you can personally see in camp that gives you any indication that these guys are going to be able to compete for a job or that one would have an advantage over the other following it?
No. They're going to throw footballs, okay? There's going to be no defense on the field. They're learning the playbook. In fact, they probably just got the playbook today. So, no. Like, we're not going to rush to any conclusions this weekend.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
about either one of those kids. I'll be honest with you. It's not the Cleveland Browns that are setting Shedeur Sanders up to fail. It's the media. It's us. We're going to do it to that kid. And it's unfair. It's a fifth round pick. Okay. If he makes it, great. If he turns into something, fantastic. If he ends up being a bust and it doesn't work out, well, you know what? It was worth a shot. But, I'll put the newsworthy stuff out this weekend, but I'm not going to stalk that kid. I'm not. And again, I really think that it's the media that continues to do a disservice to Shedeur, and I don't think the team is helping by making this guy. I realize who he is. I realize where he comes from. Okay, but 85% of your social media posts don't need to be this kid. Okay, he's a fifth-round pick. He has to make your football team. I get the engage. Trust me, I know all about the need for the social media engagement and the clicks and the likes and the quote tweets and the responses and all that. I get it. It's part of this. But like, I just feel like we got to slow the roll and let's give this kid a fair shake. Let's see what he can do and how well he can do it. And this weekend is not going to determine whether or not he is going to have a successful NFL career. Shall I remind you of DeJuan Jones's rookie minicamp a few years ago, where he was losing his lunch between reps, looked like he needed oxygen. And then just a couple months later, right, and I'm standing on silence saying, love my Buckeyes, but maybe pro football ain't going to be for you, my man. And then a couple months later, right, I think Conklin got hurt, and then obviously I think Jed got hurt, and he went in. He played well on the right side. They moved him to the left side. And the guy I would argue, DeJuan, just months after that rookie camp and looking like he had no business being drafted or being in the NFL, I would argue he played like an all-pro left tackle. So, I'm going to do my very best not to rush to any unfair judgments about this kid based on how he's, throwing a football this weekend at rookie camp.
Darryl, over under within the first hour of rookie minicamp being available to the media, I see three either really good or really bad passes out of Shedeur Sanders against the air.
Oh, God. I mean, and I'm going to have to do it too. Like, we're all going to have to film this kid. I mean, he wipes his nose. We're going to have to film it and get it out there so people see it, right? Oh, my God, Shedeur Sanders just walked onto the practice field. Oh, Shedeur Sanders just picked up a football. Shedeur Sanders just threw a ball. He completed a 5-yard out with no one else on the field defending the play, but it was a tight spiral. The velocity coming out of his hands, the ball, the zip. Man, this kid's got it. Like, that's what this is going to be this weekend. And there's going to be so many cameras. The national media is going to be there, right? I'm sitting in Independence at Cavs practice today, right? In between the Pat McAfee Pope coverage today, which that floored me. I look up and the Four Letter Network is doing segments on Shedeur Sanders. Like, 400 guys got drafted, right? And they're doing banner headline segments on Shedeur Sanders, the 144th pick in the draft. And I'm just like, this is what our business has come to.
That's where we're at. I'm excited to talk about it. I can't wait. I can't wait to overanalyze overthrown ball.
I am absolutely not rooting against this kid.
No.
I think that the circumstances make it harder for him, to be perfectly honest with you. Let's have him do something on the field, in a game before, we start treating him like he's the first pick in the draft, right? Let's have him, and that's kind of like my point, and I did a diatribe on this last Sunday on my show, where it's like, I think the Browns have a little bit of a hero worship complex with some of their players, and it's to their detriment within the organization. Because once you build those guys up, right, and how great they are, you can't touch them, right? They never reined in Baker Mayfield and it bit him in the backside, right? Had they done that, had they set the boundaries, I don't know, maybe things happen a little different with Baker, right? They didn't do it with Johnny Manziel and whatnot. So, like, I'm just like, you know, this kid, we know who he is. We know he's a star. We know, you know, he commands attention and, you know, everyone's anxious to see him and all that. But, like, let's slow the roll. Let's be patient with this kid. And he's a fifth-round pick. So let's put the fifth-round pick expectations on him rather than acting like he is the guy the Browns drafted with the fifth overall pick in the draft. And I think that if you look at it through that lens, it might be a little easier to be fair to this young man, because to put all this on him like that, I just don't think it's fair to him.
Daryl, if you look at him and Dylan Gabriel coming into this thing, and I don't just mean rookie minicamp, I mean the entire season in the quarterback competition, do you think they come in on even ground, or do you think that one of them has an advantage over the other?
No, I think they're even ground. And you know what? I the more I kind of like think about this whole thing, and I know this will like shock you, I'm kind of like, mine's just play them both. Like, let's just, you know, what is the point of Joe Flacco right now, right? Now that I just, you know, you take a step back and just look at that room, right? I'm just like, what kind of is the point right now of Joe Flacco, right? Because you got to find out, do I got something? Yeah, you know, I think I got something in Dylan Gabriel. Got it, you know, got him for a steal at 94. In my view, I'm putting myself in the Browns' shoes, right? Okay, there are teams that had that guy as an undrafted rookie free agent. The Browns took him in the third round, right? Shedeur Sanders was it's day three. It's the fifth round. The kid's still there. Yeah, what the heck? Let's go get him, right? Maybe we get a little something here, right? And that's fine. That's not a criticism. Fine. So you're taking two shots at these young guys. And then, of course, Kenny Pickett, right? They give up DTR and the little pick swap with the Eagles, whatever. No big deal, but okay. So you got three guys there. Play them. See what they got. I don't even know if there's anything to gain by entertaining the notion of playing Joe Flacco at this point. And that's just me just, like, thinking out loud, you know. But you got two draft picks and first-round picks in your pocket for next year. You're locked and loaded, ready to go. Move up, get a quarterback if you need to, right? So I kind of feel like this year is like, well, let's see what Shedeur has. Let's see what Gabriel has. Let these two and maybe have this be a three-man race for that starting job. And I don't know, maybe you trade Joe Flacco during training camp or at the end of training camp.
Daryl, real quick, like 15 seconds or less. I'm asking you to put a number on it. But what is it that you need to see from one of these quarterbacks that would make you hesitate on looking at 2026?
To
not draft a quarterback within the first couple of rounds.
They win football games this fall. They light it up and win football games. Like, because that's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
Completions, touchdowns, more points than the other team. And execute in key situations. Less than 2 minutes to go in the final 2 minutes of half, stuff like that. If one of these kids is able to do that, guess what? Then the Browns just hit the lottery, and they can use those first-round picks next year on other positions to fill out the roster, and they don't have to get a quarterback. That right there would be hitting the jackpot. But we got to wait and see if they've really done that or not.
Daryl, as always, good stuff. I look forward to talking to you next week and beyond as we continue. I can't wait to hear your reaction on Sunday. I really can't. I'm excited.
I'm going to be loaded for bears Sunday morning. Trust me. The Shedeur Circus has come to town. Everyone get your tickets now.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be listening. Daryl, appreciate it as always.
You got it.
Again, our Cleveland Sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, with us there on the hotline, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.